भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते
वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
श्री भागवतम कांटो 1 चैप्टर 5 नारद's इंस्ट्रक्शन ऑन श्री भागवतम टेक्स्ट 38 श्री चैतन्य मानवीस्तं शपितं येन भूतले स्वयं उपकार माय ददाति स्वपदंतिकम श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरी गौर भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे सो द लॉर्ड इज अग्रीएबल टू बिकम मैनिफेस्ट इन हिज होली नेम इज द प्रपोर्ट ऑफ दिस वर्स प्रपोर्ट बट We can't force the Lord to be in His holy name. He's there, but the one who is chanting the name has to chant in such a way that the Lord agrees to be manifest. Otherwise, it can be just something like a parrot is also chanting. But if you throw the cat, then it will stop chanting and starts cawing. So we have to learn how to chant like that. And it's not just learning either. Because even if we learn something, then we say, okay, I know it. But the chanting is not something like that we know, that we can have and put in our pocket. But the chanting has to be done like a cry. We have to actually cry. So in order to really cry, it requires something more than learning. It requires some feeling. It requires some experience that we can have if we have the right attitude. So it comes to our attitude. We know the mantra, we know the process, but we have to chant with such devotion, with such feeling, with such intensity, that the Lord will agree to come into that sound. It's not some alphabet that we can just repeat. So that is up to His sweet will. It's not that even we chant 64 rounds, 150 rounds, whatever. It doesn't mean that Krishna is there in that chanting. He's coming from His side, at His desire, at His will. So, what we can do is simply wait and try to improve the quality of our chanting. Try to get in the right mood. Try to really feel, like Prabhupada says, the baby crying for the mother. Try to really feel meek and humble and dependent on the mercy of the Lord. Not that we are forcing the Lord by our chanting. He doesn't have to appear. It's completely up to His. He's an autocrat. He desires to come, then He'll be manifest. So how to get that mercy? That should be our goal. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya advises, we have to be we have to be so humble. Because why will the Lord come if we're proud? So there's so many things we can become proud of. And the last snare, you can say, for the devotee is to become famous. Oh, we want to be a great devotee. Everybody will recognize. Our name will be in lights. That people will see. Oh, he was really the best devotee. Look what he's done. So that fame, desire for fame, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, is the most difficult thing to give up. Because it's just like the Bhaktilata beach. It looks similar, very similar. And you're watering it. And you're becoming prominent, big devotee, everybody's recognizing, bowing down to you, so many disciples, people offering. And then you can think, oh, well, this is my position. I should be worshipped. And as soon as you think like that, then you can't chant. Your Krishna won't be manifest on your tongue. So this advice is there. We read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita how to... In the cleansing of the Gunjita temple, Lord Chaitanya is showing us, by His personal example, how to remove these unwanted anarthas, useless things, from our heart, and how we have to go on cleansing again and again, and even again, to remove the very finest impurities, like Lord Chaitanya was removing a fine particle of sand and washing more water. This is the process, Chaito Dharpana Majana, Bhava Mahadevagni Nivarpana. And in this way, We'll always be humble because nobody is thinking, no real devotee is thinking, oh, now I've had this experience, now I'm situated, now I'm established, now I'm realized. No, we're always open to the ongoing inspiration, ongoing revelation, which is coming from the Lord. This is the danger of becoming advanced and being correct. This is the danger of preaching, really. Why somebody like Gaurakishore Babaji Maharaj doesn't go for preaching? Because he knows as soon as you preach, you're going to get followers. As soon as you have followers, it's danger. They'll finish you with their flattery. Oh, you're so good. You're so wonderful. Oh, Guru Maharaj Ji. And it's the next thing you know, you start believing it. Therefore, he wouldn't go. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was advising Gaurakishore Maharaj that he should go to Calcutta for something that he was becoming blind. Some doctor was. Gaurakishore said, I will not go to the material world, Calcutta. he wouldn't. He wouldn't take service even from his own disciple. So now our mood is a little different. It's true. We have to preach. But there's a risk. And therefore, we have to be very careful. As soon as you preach very nicely, then men and money will come. That's a fact. People will want to support. So therefore, we have to be very careful. And we should keep our association. In other words, I saw that some of my godbrothers who did become bewildered by their opulence, the opulence of fame, the opulence of followers, that they were stealthily drawn to their disciples, and they would neglect their godbrothers. Because in that relationship with disciples, they had absolutes. An absolute is like monarchy. I'm the king. Everybody recognizes I'm the king. But that monarchy is like madness. You can become mad. Therefore, the real guru, he's happy to associate with God brothers. And sometimes he takes correction. Why not? We don't claim that we're perfect. But the message we're carrying is perfect. That's another thing. That's our perfection. When we sit to speak, then we're perfect because we're only repeating. But in our conduct, you know, there may be some discrepancy. We can be corrected. Even Prabhupada, that was his mood. He was never arrogant in his own personal account. He was always very humble. Not like a kshatriya. A kshatriya has to be prestigious. He has to maintain his prestige because that's his position. He's passionate and he's a king and he just, you know, he has to be ready to kill. But Prabhupada is training us to be Brahmins. So therefore, we have to be humble on our own account. Not that if there's a slight insinuation that we may be less than perfect, that we become very disturbed by that, and we don't allow it to go by, we don't tolerate it, and we again and again come back to this point, oh, why is this person suggested that I'm less than perfect in this way, and we never be able to go on. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya is stressing this mood of being more tolerant than a tree. More tolerant than a tree means, yes, if somebody calls me a fool, I don't have to resist that, because certainly I'm a fool. If I wasn't a fool, what would I be doing here in the material world? I must be a fool. This body is a certificate. Yes, here is a fool, number one. He has a material body. So who can deny being a fool? But if our body is used fully in the service of the Lord, then it becomes spiritualized. So that's what we're aspiring for. We're trying to come to the point of qualifying ourselves to have a spiritual body. So that requires our change of consciousness, our purification. But we should think of ourselves as neophytes. Even Srila Prabhupada, he said when he was in America for the first year, he was very happy. He had no followers, no big success. But he was happy because he's Atma Rama, he's happy in himself. He wasn't thinking, oh, if I don't get a big following, then I'll be a failure. No, he was already successful. Once I was giving a massage in 1969 in London, and he just got a report. For the first time, devotees went to South America. I think it was Ramananda and some others had been invited. Somebody had read a book and they invited to come. Buenos Aires, I think. So, Prabhupada was pleased. Now, another continent that his mission was going to, first time. And I was giving a massage and I said, so, were they successful? In other words, I was thinking, did they have it? Did they make some devotees or sell some books? As soon as I said that, Prabhupada looked at me displeased. Because I forgot to realize the fact that he was pleased, that was their success. Not that you have to have so many books or so many things. The fact that my spiritual master was pleased with his disciples, already they were successful, that's all. But we're thinking, you know, like, of course, if we preach nicely, there will be results. But we shouldn't become attached to the result. This is not the whole teaching of Bhagavad Gita, that we should remain detached. Honor or dishonor, gain or loss. These have nothing to do with the soul. Or fight for the sake of fighting, O Arjuna, without attachment to the result. That should be our mentality. And naturally, if Krishna sees that we're sincere, then he'll send a result. And if he doesn't send a result, that will also be our mercy. Just like Sudama Brahman, when he was obliged by his wife to go and ask Krishna for some bhakshis. And then he forgot to ask Krishna. And on the way back, he was thinking to himself, oh, I forgot to ask Krishna, what's my wife for this? And then he said, well, just as well, because I'm so fallen, if Krishna had given me some opulence, I certainly would have been deviated by it. So it's better that he didn't give it to me. But then when he came home, he saw that his house had changed. It was a palace. So that should be the mood. Then we won't be carried away by success. Otherwise, this success is a very dangerous, you could say, toxin. Very easy to become enamored by it and thinking that I've done it. This is my accomplishment. I remember speaking to one of my godbrothers who by this time was already fallen. But he was maintaining, he had disciples and so on. And he was fallen because his mentality was fallen. And he was saying something like, so many people were being initiated by him, and you know, he was taking credit for that. And saying that he was successful, and so on, going on like that, talking about his success, his accomplishments. And I could see that this was the wrong attitude. And, you know, within 2 years, he had his head cut off by his own disciple. Krishna is a serious business, you know, if we imitate Krishna, if we take the wrong position or the wrong attitude, because we're dealing with the devotees, we're dealing with Krishna, Krishna won't tolerate another devotee, the same idea. He thought he was perfect. Why? Because this was his philosophy. I didn't ask to become guru. Prabhupada made me guru. Everybody knows guru is perfect. Therefore, whatever I did was perfect. Very logical philosophy, right? But it's not that like that. You're perfect, you're guru, because whatever you do is perfect. Not that because you're guru, everything you do is perfect. It's not, in other words, the real qualification is that you do act perfectly. Perfectly in a sense that you remain humble. This is the perfect position to be in. Not to be proud, to be very humble, and to be not expecting honor, and to be ready to tolerate. We saw that in Prabhupada's example, in Prabhupada's personal life. I remember once, we were listening outside the window. One devotee was a problem devotee. He was a leader. Early days, in New Vrindavan. And Prabhupada was talking to him. And we were out the window, myself and another devotee. And they couldn't see us. We were hearing them the talk. We did a lot.
He stopped.
Yeah. The Prabhupada didn't mind. And I think the thought that came to my mind is, why is he tolerating? Why doesn't he just straighten this guy out? You know, why doesn't he just get strong with him? And it was like, Prabhupada was bending over backwards to accommodate this person, to accept his service. And you know, that was the way the Prabhupada himself would be very, on his own account, he'd be very humble. But when it came to, you know, some principle, then he could be like fire. So that we have to learn, how to be soft as a rose, how to be hard as a thunderbolt. Sometimes we have to be uncompromising, to the very core, to the very bottom line. We don't compromise no matter what, even if we're put in the fire. We won't give up this chanting, like Haridas Thakur. He won't give up the chanting, even if he's being beaten in the marketplaces. He goes on with it. We won't give up that. But some things, on our own account, should be very mild. Yes, or you whatever you think. But we saw that was Prabhupada's example. Reminded me of another time when Prabhupada was at Chanan's estate. And he was speaking with John and his wife. And we were also eavesdropping. So when Prabhupada came out, we ran, you know, we ran up to greet him, and we were walking back to his quarters. And I remember I said, Prabhupada, you spoke so nicely. He said, oh, you were listening? He said, yes, Prabhupada. He said, oh, very good. He liked him. In other words, the sadhu's life was open. He had no privacy. He didn't care. I mean, he didn't like to be disturbed. He didn't want to be disturbed when he was translating, especially. But otherwise, he had no secrets. Anybody could come in, anytime. That was the first impression I got of Prabhupada when I first saw him in New York, 26 Second Avenue, the original temple, up in his room in the back. I was thinking, Prabhupada is like, anybody could just walk in there. He was like so open, so vulnerable even. You know, vulnerable means anybody could come in with a knife, and it was a bad neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And my impression was, he was a great man, because I hadn't met Prabhupada, but I heard from his disciples, and I heard from, saw his picture, and I thought, this person is really great, but this is the greatest person I ever met, you know, so I was kind of hyped up to meet him. But when I met him, I was thinking, God, how come there's no bodyguards here? There should be somebody with a gun ready to protect, you know, like that was my idea of a great man, like Alexander the Great or somebody, who was it? But Prabhupada was just open, anybody could come, anybody could take advantage of his association. There's no secrets. So we should be like that. We should be very open in our dealings. Even we can tell the enemy, isn't it? Say, rabbinical quality. We can be open, truthful, even with our enemy. What do we have to hide? This is our position. Yeah, we're aspiring to be servants of Krishna. This is our position. Whatever we do, we try to do for pleasing Krishna. This is our position. If you don't like that, I'm sorry, I'm not going to change. This is my position. This is my constitutional position. I'm going to always act in such a way to try to please my spiritual master, to try to please Krishna. But we can be honest, even with the envious. Okay, any questions?
Marge, how do we...
Comments.
You mentioned that we should go out and preach and try to, you know, attempt to spread Krishna consciousness but not be attached to the results. On the other hand, Prabhupada says one can judge one's purity by how many Vaishnavas they are able to.
Yeah.
How many people they are able to make into Vaishnavas.
That's right. But the two don't go together. It's the same thing what Hansa Dutta was saying. I'm guru. Because I'm guru, everything I do is perfect. It's the same mentality. If you're really pure, people will be attracted. But not because of you, but because the super soul within their heart will tell them, this person is representing me. Then they'll feel prompted from within. Oh, you should go and hear from this person. He's my representative. Not that you have to capture that and put it in your pocket. So now I have 500 disciples. Now I have 600 disciples, 800 disciples. No, Krishna will send them. You simply have to represent Krishna, repeat Krishna. And don't preach for the idea, I'm going to make disciples. Preach for the idea that you're going to represent Krishna, that you can give them Krishna. That should be your mentality. Then, the result comes or doesn't come. Prabhupada was, by material estimation, Prabhupada was a failure when he was 64 years old. Or not 69 years old. What was he? He had nothing. He was in India. What did he have?
When he took sannyas in 58.
Hmm? No, but I mean, even before he came to America, what did he have then? He didn't have a big following.
Oh, well, he's living in Vrindavan at Radhadamodar Temple now.
He was a sadhu, but by for material calculation.
Uh-huh.
So, therefore, we shouldn't be so eager. I mean, it's true. If we are pure, people will. But becoming—you don't become pure by becoming having a karmic attitude. Oh, I have to collect disciples. Then I'll be certified as pure. Without, you know, it's the other way around. First of all, you qualify yourself. That should be your first. Go. Why we get up in the morning? We first of all chant Hare Krishna. There are two tracks, Pachar and Achar. But first is Achar. First we have to qualify. Then we go for preaching. Then we should think like Sudama Brahman. Oh, I'm not getting any result because I'm not pure. I'm not qualified. Let me go back to square one and really get into my chanting and really listen to this mantra. And this should be, in other words, it's not a political movement. We have to have hundreds of followers in order to go Kishore's Babaji, you know. So we don't have to be worried, in other words. Like Prabhupada was loitering in America. He didn't have any following for 1 year. But he was very happy. But if we have the mentality that, oh, Bhaktivinoda says, I have to, in order to be recognized, I have to have a lot of disciples. Then anxiety comes. Oh my God, I don't have a lot of disciples. I better go out and by hook or by crook, I'm going to make some disciples. No. It's not. We shouldn't have any anxiety because we're taking the process and it's working for us. And we're feeling enlivened. We're feeling enlightened. We're feeling happy in ourselves. If we're feeling happy in ourselves, then the followers come. That's another thing.
You mentioned that when you chant, we should chant like that, we're crying for the Krishna manifest. So how that cry will come in our heart?
It will come when we get in touch with reality.
Reality means that, say, in material world we cry for something what we desire to get or something. In material, if we won't get that, we have to get that, so we worry for that and we...
And we also cry if we're in a very, very difficult position in the material world. We may cry, oh my God, what's happened? I had a friend who was working as a nurse he was a male nurse. He worked in a ward where the rich people were in Los Angeles. And he said sometimes at night you'd hear them crying. Oh my God! I don't want to die! I don't want to die! So they were crying. So why can't we cry like that? We're also in an awkward position.
And even also, sometimes these people cry for their relations.
So that's the material sentiment.
Material sentiment. But how we develop their spiritual sentiment with Krishna, then we can cry for Krishna only. So how we can gradually develop that thing? By chanting gradually? Or any?
By association?
Association of devotees.
Slowly
it will develop.
That's so humble. And I would order the spiritual master. I find association is very valuable. When I see nice devotees like you coming in the morning, and I become inspired, and I try to improve the quality of my sadhana. So, association is very, you know, Lord Chaitanya stresses that. Better to live with the alligators than to mix intimately with the non-devotees. Very dangerous. Why Prabhupada took so much trouble to create the international society? Because he knew the importance of this association. He wanted to give the innocent people a chance to take advantage of the association. Then when we see, oh, this devotee is chanting so nicely, he's not missing anything because of that. Even he doesn't have any following, even he doesn't have any. You can see he's very blissful. So let me become like him. Let me become more detached. Give up this anxiety. And this is it. In other words, in order to come to the spiritual side, you have to give up attachments with the material things. But that's the other side. You know, you say, how do you become attached to Krishna? By becoming detached to your mental plans. And be ready to be used by Krishna however He desires. How does Krishna want me? What does Krishna want me to do? If we have that attitude, Nectar Devotion talks about Krishna is not so impressed what we've done. What can we do for Krishna? He has everything. Now, what have we done? What can we do? But if we have the service attitude, what are we ready to do? Then he's attracted to that. Oh, look, here my devotee, he's actually surrendered. He's ready to do whatever I want. Then Krishna is drawn to that person. He's attracted to that. This is common sense, just like we have the same experience. In our own life. If a child, maybe we have two children, but if one child is really wanting to please us, that's really their intention, then naturally our heart goes to that person, to that child, even our own children. Nobody can say, oh, I treat every child exactly the same way. No. Neither does Krishna treat everybody the same way. We can read in the ninth chapter. And he says, I'm partial to my devotees. And probably this is the purpose. This is natural. One who is surrendered, actually, we have more feeling for them, more reciprocation for them. So we have to learn how to surrender more. And that means we're ready to do what Krishna wants. What does Krishna want to do now? Tata Brahma Jigyasya, what does he want us to do now? Not that, oh yeah, I already know what he wants. No, we have to be open. Maybe Krishna has a new plan for us. We can't be too attached to our plan. Once Prabhupada was writing out an itinerary, what he was going to do for the next year. You know, he's going to go to Montreal, and one devotee said, oh, Prabhupada, this is your plan. Prabhupada said, yes, this is my plan. Of course, Prabhupada said, I have my plan, but Krishna has his plan, so let us see. In other words, this wasn't in stone, that this is going to be exactly what you have to be open and see, okay, well, now Krishna is making it very clear, he wants me to go in this direction. All right? Then I should. Anyway, you have to go in the direction of the street, so I better stop.
No, I have
clear.
To go direction of your Lord's feet.
No, direction of Prasadam. Maha Prasadam ki.
Yes.
Yamagatam ki.
Yes.